and run across this today. You may have already seen this on the internet, a little bit of older news, but I ran back across it today about a pastor that's got guts. And there was an interesting prayer that was given in Kansas in the Senate as they were ready to open up their Senate in the state. And it seems that prayer still upsets a lot of people. Minister's name is Mr. Joe Wright. He was asked to open the session for the Kansas Senate, and everybody was expecting, you know, the usual generalities of prayer, because you have to be very careful when you're in front of all these delegates and all these, I'll call them cream puff folks. You have to be real careful how you pray and what you say, or you can get yourself in a lot of trouble. But this is what they heard from this pastor. He said, "Heavenly Father, we come before you today to ask your forgiveness, to seek your direction and guidance. You know your word says, 'Woe to those who call evil good.' But that's exactly what we've done. We've lost our spiritual equilibrium and reversed our values. We have exploited the poor and called it the lottery. We have rewarded laziness and called it welfare. We have killed our unborn and called it choice. We have shot abortionists and called it justifiable. We have neglected to discipline our children and called it building self-esteem. We have abused power and called it politics. We have coveted our neighbor's possessions and called it ambition. We have polluted the air with profanity and pornography and called it freedom of expression. We have ridiculed the time-honored values of our forefathers and called it modern-day enlightenment. Search us, O God, and know our hearts today. Cleanse us from every sin and set us free. Amen." Amen. That pastor had guts.
Amen.
The response to this was immediate. A number of the legislators got up, walked out of the prayer in protest. But just in 6 short weeks, the church where he pastored, they logged more than 5,000 phone calls, with only 47 of them complaining. The church is now receiving international requests for copies of this letter from places like India, Africa, and Korea. Even commentator Paul Harvey brought it up to the news. Now we'll know the rest of the story. May this prayer then sweep our nation wholeheartedly, becoming our desire so that we can again be called one nation under God.
Amen.
That pastor had guts, didn't he? A friend of mine was asked to come and pray at a local high school football game. And they told him he couldn't pray in the name of Jesus. This was right before they started stopping prayer. And he got up there and he prayed and prayed and prayed. And then he just said, "Amen." And he came to me, cried his eyes out. He said, "You know, I can't believe. We say that we would never be like Peter and deny him. Yet when I was told I couldn't pray in his name, I didn't." You never know what you do when the pressure gets on just right. And it wasn't long right after that, and they said, "You know what, not only can you not pray in his name, you can't pray at all." And they completely wiped out prayer. But I will tell you what, them youngins sitting over there, if they wanted to bow their head for their meal, and I know a lot of them do in a lot of these classes, they can do it openly, and they have a thing they can do about it. That's right. They have the freedom in this country to pray. I'll never forget where I worked. I had my Bible. It laid open on my desk. I had somebody come in there and said, "You need to get that off the desk. That's not right." And they took me up front. And I said, "I want to tell you something. I have the right in this nation to lay my Bible on the desk." And they said, "No, it's our corporation. We'll say what you can and what you can't put up there." And I said, "Are you telling me that you have a problem with me laying a Bible out open on my desk?" And they said, "No, we don't." And I said, "Then it's going to stay there." Okay? And I don't think they have the right to tell me what I can put there and what I can't anyway. Amen? They can't. You may say they own it. No, sir. If I want to put it on me, if I carry the Word of God, we have the freedom to do so.
Amen.
And the courts have backed that up 100%. Amen? Amen? Tonight we're going to look at the book of Acts chapter number 19. Acts chapter number 19. Realize that Paul is on his third missionary journey. He has just completed his second one. Remember, he said in Acts chapter 18, verse 21, he was leaving Ephesus. They was trying to get him to stay. In the middle of the verse, he said, "I will return again unto you if God will." If it's the will of God, he says, "I'll be back to Ephesus." Well, now he started his third missionary journey. And guess where he's going? He's going right back to Ephesus, where he promised, "If it's the will of God, I'll be right back here." So I want to pick that up. Chapter 19, verse 1. "And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth. Remember, Apollos was that man who only had John's baptism, who when he heard from Aquila and Priscilla that there was more to it than John's baptism, he didn't rebuke them, he believed them. And he himself went out and started teaching others about the Word of God. And Apollos has been called to Corinth. Paul, having passed to the upper coast, came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples. I want us to see the situation at Ephesus. Ephesus is a very huge, it's a very huge city. It is a economic city. It is a city that has a lot of magicians and sorcery and witchcraft, that type of thing. It is a city that is known for its worship center to a goddess that they call Diana. It was some 400 or 500 feet high and overtowered that entire city. And so there was a lot of idolatry and paganism there in that city. And here Paul's come right into Ephesus and he's found some disciples. He's found some folks that believe the Word of God. And he's excited about what's getting ready to happen here in Ephesus. And we realize when we've studied the book of Ephesians, if you read it at all, that's one of the deepest books in the New Testament. It's amazing how Paul went to Corinth and set up a church there, and it seemed that Corinth would be the stronger church, and Ephesus, because he was there and then left and then came back, would be the weaker church. But when I studied, Corinth was a church that was more carnal, and Ephesus was more spiritual. I want to read something. You don't have to turn there. I just want you to listen to what I'm going to read you. It's what Paul says to Corinth. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. What he's saying is, there's a good church at Corinth, but they're carnal. They can't get too deep spiritually. They're stuck on carnal things. That kind of gigged my heart when I started studying this message. Let's not be a carnal church and be so quick to get bent out of shape and get fluffed over insignificant stuff. That's carnality. That's worldly stuff. Let's be spiritual. Let's be rooted deeply in the Word of God. And I believe that's Paul's desire, to teach these folks to get deep, to get them off the milk and get them on the meat of the Word. Now, hey, sometimes the preacher may have to bottle feed somebody. Yeah, it happens at times. And there's other times where he can just throw the meat right out there and let them cut it up for themselves and chew on it. I'll never forget one of my good buddies. He went into a church, and it was a very, very carnal church. It was a very dry atmosphere, not spiritual at all. He sat down in the back of the church to visit that Sunday. He's a good preacher friend of mine. And he sat there and went through the motions. They got an argument about this. They got an argument with Brother Calvin about what song he was going to sing. And they started hollering at each other about who was going to get to sing specials today. And they put their hands on their hips and was yelling at each other. It was awful. They finally noticed my buddy, he's sitting in the back of the church. And they said, "Are you a preacher?" He said, "Yes, I am." They said, "Well, we ain't got a pastor right now. How about you lead us in prayer, at least dismissing us?" They weren't even interested in the preaching of the Word. He closed his eyes and said, "Oh, my Father, I've never been here before, and right now I'm doubting you have." Let's don't be carnal, y'all. Let's be spiritual. There's a bunch of Ephesus. I want you to see something. Verse number 2, he said unto them, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" Now that right there, you hear we're getting ready to get deep. That right there is a remarkable statement. "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" Well, now if you'd asked me that, I would have said the moment I believed, he baptized me into the body of believers. The Holy Ghost did that, and he indwelt me. Right? Amen. I didn't have to ask him to baptize me. I didn't have to. This is different water baptism. I'm talking about being baptized into the body of Christ. You don't have to ask for that. Boom! As soon as you get saved, he baptizes you in the body. Am I telling it right?
Amen.
I got scripture if you want me to read it to you tonight. You better get with me. Am I telling it right?
Amen.
Yes, the Holy Ghost does that. Amen. But here, this crowd, Paul says to them, evidently he's listening to their testimonies. He's listening to their discussions. And he says, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe?" In other words, it sounds like you believe the Word of God or the things of God, but have you received the Holy Ghost? It seems like there's something missing in your life. Now, preacher, what are you aiming at here? There are people that will take these first 7 verses of the book of Acts chapter 19 and try to prove to you that the Holy Ghost don't come and live inside you at salvation. And I'm going to tell you what, it's false doctrine. And they'll try to take these verses and prove it to you, but I want to try to show you, with the help of the Lord, exactly what's intent here. There, some people say, well, there's the second blessing. Listen, I found out there's a whole lot more blessings than just two, amen. And when I got saved, he baptized me, and I've received blessing after blessing after blessing after blessing. And there is something about being filled with the Holy Ghost. But hear me, the Holy Ghost never leaves us or forsakes us. And we're going to look in these verses, and it's going to get deep. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? They said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. They've never heard of the Holy Ghost. They've never heard of the Holy Spirit. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. In other words, all they had liked was the baptism of John. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. This sounds similar, does it not, to last week with Apollos. When Apollos was out trying to preach and teach the word of God with power, but he didn't have the Holy Ghost yet. And remember, Priscilla and Aquila heard that, took him off to the side, probably over a big old dodger of cornbread, and told him that Jesus Christ was the fulfillment of the law. In Matthew 3:11, this is John the Baptist's words. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. What they believed was repentance was by water. They said, we don't know about the Holy Ghost. We're preaching John's baptism. We've been baptized for the washing away of our sins. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But right here, we have a different dispensation. It's getting ready to take place. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now you'll not find anywhere that I've seen in the Word of God, and if you find it, I want you to show it to me, where Jesus baptized somebody. He was baptized himself, not that he needed baptism for remission of sins, but that he stood in that water saying, I'm identifying myself and I'm going to take your sins upon myself and they're going to be washed away. That's why he did that. He never baptized anybody while he's on this earth. But after he went to glory, after he was died on the cross, was buried and rose again, 40 days later he ascended into the heavens, he sent the Holy Ghost, did he not? He sent the Holy Ghost and he came. And I want you to know right then and there, he baptized them on the day of Pentecost with the Holy Ghost. And Jesus Christ is the one that baptizes us into the body of himself with the gift of the Holy Ghost. But this crowd, they don't know Jesus yet. They've heard him preach. There's one coming mightier than I. But they don't know. They know he's coming. But they don't know about him. They've not heard. They've got limited light. Are you with me? Amen. They've got limited light. God has sent Paul down there to them to give them further instruction, to shed the light, Brother Earl Farley would say it. Shed the light of Jesus upon them. Here, Brother Paul comes in, and chapter 19, verse 3, said, unto them, what were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. In other words, remission of sins by water. And they, some people still teach that today. But dispensationally, it's incorrect. Doctrinally, it's incorrect. Theologically, it is incorrect. You cannot have your sins washed away by water baptism. Amen. The only way your sins can be forgiven is by the shedding of blood. It's the only way sins can be remitted. Look what Paul says, verse 4. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. That's all Paul said. That John, in Matthew 3:11,
That John, when he didn't use that specific verse, he wasn't written at that point in time, but what he said was, John preached, there's one coming mightier than I, and he was the one preparing the way for Jesus Christ. He's the Messiah. He died and he expounded those things of them. And you know what happens? They didn't rebuke him. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. In other words, they believed. They believed. Just like you and I. They believed that message. And they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Not in the name of John. Not for remission of sins. When Paul had laid his hands upon them. Now we've seen this before in the book of Acts. Where some of the apostles would come and lay their hands on it. Peter would come, lay his hands on someone, and they'd receive the Holy Ghost. I see doctrines today where men would go and supposedly lay their hands on somebody and cause them to receive the Holy Ghost. In the book of Acts chapter 19, where we are, this is the last time you'll find this event taking place in the Word of God. It's the last time. It does not happen any more than where it happens right here. Paul lays his hands on them. Why? They had not had full light shed to them. When Paul came, he shared that light with them. They believed, got baptized. When Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied, and all the men were about 12. That doesn't mean there's 12 years old. No, there's 12 of them in number. When the Holy Ghost came, they spoke in tongues. Preacher, I don't know. What do you think there? And my Bible says all day they speak in tongues. But they prophesied. Those were miracle sign gifts. Must have been some Jews present. The Jews will not believe unless there is a sign. The Jews require a sign. They have to have a sign to believe. It's still in that mess today. You know it. Still, and I can prove it to you. We've studied it all the way through here. This is the last time. Why? He's turning from the Jews to the Gentiles. He's turning. This is it. This is going to be your last. And this crowd running around today thinking they're going to lay hands on somebody and they're going to receive the Holy Ghost. It don't work. No, no, no. You receive the Holy Ghost at salvation.
Amen.
Well, preacher, what about you boys got up here and laid hands on a deacon? Or listen, that's different. We're not saying to the deacon, receive the Holy Ghost. We're not saying anything more than we agree that God has placed you in this ministry. With us, we are together as a show of unity. Trying to give them a second blessing. I can't bless nobody. Neither can you.
Amen.
God's the one does the blessing. But these people got this all mixed up and thinks you can get saved without getting the Holy Ghost and it won't come inside you. Until some preacher comes and puts his hand on you and then you'll fall out and start talking. No. And you be careful with tongues anyway. I've told this story before here. Brother J. Harold Smith, who's the Camp Zion guy, Brother Earl Farley guy, y'all met Brother Earl. You can see God on him when he stood in that pulpit there. Just when you shook his hand, you knew God was on him. And the church he pastored in Arkansas, Brother J. Harold Smith said, as a woman stood up and went, blah, 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 spoke in tongues. Got real quiet in the church. The Bible said, there'll be an interpreter. Bible said, woman's supposed to keep silence. This is in the same chapter there about tongues. Woman's supposed to keep silence in the church. She shouldn't be standing and speaking tongues. That's what he's trying to say. That does not mean she's not supposed to stand up and say, I want to thank God for saving me. No. That's not what it means. We twist that out of context. You read in that chapter. That chapter means that she's not standing up speaking tongues. If you stop women from speaking in tongues, you'll stop the tongues movement. You turn your TV on where they do that stuff and you tell me who's up doing that junk.
Amen.
99% of the time, it's the women. And every 8, 10, 15 at a time, my Bible says that it ought to be by course at one at a time. And at the most, I think it's like 2 or 3. At the most, that's what. And you'll see 10 or 11 of them all one time. And out of God. It's against His Word. God cannot oppose Himself. He cannot contradict Himself. Anyway, this person stood up. This woman stood up. You knew it was messed up right there. No interpreter stood up at first. Right behind her, someone been on the mission field, Congo, Zaire, somewhere in Africa, said, Pastor, I can't believe what this woman just said. In a native tribal tongue in Africa, she has just stood up and said that Jesus Christ is not the Son of God. And the blood is nothing but a waste of time. And on and on.
And that woman, they said, got down on all fours and went crawling out of the church. What if some deacon somewhere would have said, when she stood up and said, "Amen. Boy, it sounds good." You don't know what you said amen to. You better be careful rather than just saying amen out of habit. You better feel led of God to say amen. You better feel led what you say amen to. You better listen to. Okay? Here, what are you saying here, preacher? Tongues in this prophecy here, the prophesying that's going on is a sign of the Jews. Now I know I've got to move on, but it's a sign of the Jews, and he's getting ready. You're not going to see it anymore. You're not going to see it anymore. And all the men were about 12. This is a situation in Ephesus. It's a place of paganism, witchcraft, idolatry, and it's a place where even the believers hadn't had enough light shed on them yet that they even knew that Jesus Christ had come. That the Messiah, they knew he was coming. Had been baptized with John's baptism, but they didn't even know yet till Paul got there. God's got a reason for Paul to be there. Hey, God's got a reason where you're sitting at tonight too. He's got, I don't know what it is, but he knows what it is, okay? That's the situation in Ephesus. Number two, I want us to see the synagogue of Ephesus. You know how Paul always goes to synagogue? Here he goes. Verse 8, he went into the synagogue. What do they do there? They read the law, they read the prophets, and they pray, and then they'll pick someone who seems like God's hands on them to stand up and expound on the scriptures that they've read. He went in the synagogue and he spake boldly for the space of 3 months. What do you think he taught? You think he taught law? He taught the fulfillment of law probably. He taught Jesus Christ crucified for our sins, buried, and risen again on the third day. And the first time he preached it, they didn't ask him to leave. I've been in places preaching a revival meeting where God come down and people started getting saved, and he come back by Thursday night, preach on the sovereignty of God, and the preacher get up and say, "I'm going to have to ask you to leave. We don't believe in that in here." So I did. I shut the dust off my feet. That's biblical. I wasn't going to argue with him about it. You're not going to argue angrily with anybody and win anybody. So he just left. I want to tell you what, friends. God is in sovereign control. There's not a breath you take that he's not in charge of. There's not a move of your hand or wiggle of your fingers that God don't know about. Ain't no accidents to him. He's in sovereign control. Amen. Amen? He's speaking boldly, and he's there for the space of 3 months, disputing. Now, some people think that means argumentative or angrily. But disputing in the Greek means reasoning with them, and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. He reasoned with them from Isaiah and reasoned with them from Jeremiah. He didn't go by and say, "Well, if you don't believe it, I'm going to slap you on the head. You don't believe it." That's not the way Paul was. Paul reasoned with them, the scriptures. And my Bible says that he persuaded the things of the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them. What? When divers, who are you talking about, preacher? Mark Spence? No. When divers, that means many, a great number of people, their heart got hardened. You know what the gospel will do, one of two things? It'll either soften your heart or it'll harden your heart.
Amen.
And if it softens your heart, that seed falls on fertile ground, it'll come up in salvation sooner or later. But if that heart rejects that message and that word of God falls off of it, you'll become bitter and callous to everything. Their hearts were hardened because they rejected his message. And now they spake evil of that way. What is that way? I'll tell you, I was up here in the graveyard earlier today. And I told them, I said, there's many a way to get to this graveyard. You can come this way, you can come up that way, you can go this way, and there's another way here you can come. But Jesus didn't say, "I am a way." He said, "I am the way."
Amen.
There's many roads leads to many different places. I looked around the cemetery. There's all kinds of monuments and tombstones everywhere. Every one of them folks, maybe some of them got hit by a car. Somebody might have had a stroke. Somebody might have had a heart attack. Somebody might have got stabbed or maybe got shot. I don't know. But there's a lot of different ways that they've arrived in that cemetery. But there's only one way they're going to get to heaven.
Amen.
And that's by the way, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's what he's preaching to them. He's preaching Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by me. That's what Paul's preaching. And they spoke ill of that way. They didn't like him preaching that Jesus was the way. So he departed from them. He didn't dispute. The word's disputing, that's not what it means. Like you and I get in a dispute where we get angry. No, no, no. When it got so bad, he just walked away. You know, you and I have got to learn there's a time and a season for everything. There's a time to plant, there's a time to reap. That don't get quiet on me. That's in the Word of God. It's right there, amen. There's a time for everything. God knows when it is. I mean, there's sometimes in this church, we can come in here, y'all, and it's just time to put the seed out. And there's other times, y'all, when it's ripe in here. You know good and well, there's seasons to everything, amen. Now, hear me. He departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. Now we've seen the situation at Ephesus. We've seen the synagogue at Ephesus. I want you to see the school at Ephesus. It was a school of one named Tyrannus. We don't know a lot about him, but he had some type of school there. And he's allowed Paul to come into the school. And he's going to be there. My Bible says this continued, verse 10, by the space of 2 years. He stayed 2 years at the school. Boy, you wouldn't do that nowadays. You wouldn't stay 2 minutes at the school nowadays and preach the gospel. They'd kick you out of there, friend. You know over there in Nashville where I'm from? They decided around October they're going to have a witch come over there and speak to the kids. Invited that woman right in. Told about all her tricks of the trade. How the demons empowered her and all this magic spells and potions she could do. Talk to kids there. Man, I was living about it. I said, I demand equal time. I want to share Jesus. No, no. No, no, no. You, the separation of church and state. Well, I can't find out anyway. The separation of church and state is what they said. Well, you allowed this witch in here to preach, to teach witchcraft. Why can't I come in here and preach Jesus? He's greater. They would not let us. Why not let us? I'm telling you what, y'all. You ain't going to get to school nowadays and preach and teach the gospel. But old Paul got to. What about that? If God says you will, you will. Hey, a friend of mine went over there to Russia, and he went in, he walked into, he walked up to the school, and he's white-headed, I'm just as white-headed as he could be, about 30 years old, looks like a Q-tip. And looked at him, pointed, telling him to come in. He started speaking with a translator, said he wanted to share a message. The teacher said, come on in. He stood there and started teaching the kids about Jesus. That's 32 in the class, 28 got saved. He wasn't even invited to be there. He just walked up on the property, they called him in. Well, the next day, the principal came and looked him up and said, brought a translator with him and said, are you the one who spoke yesterday? He thought, oh, Lord, they're going to arrest him. Put his head down. He said, yeah. Said, can you come back? Uproar, much uproar. Can you come back? We call assembly. They brought my whole school in and brought him to the auditorium and they put a pulpit up for him. And he got up and shared Jesus with them. And over 300 got saved. Hey, if God says you can go to school, you can go to school.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. I'm going to tell you what, America, she's turned her back on God.
Amen.
God's going to turn her back on America. Russia, they ain't going to hear it. You may call them communists, you may call them it, but that's one of the largest gathering of Baptists in the world today. Because they're hungry for the gospel. They just want it. If you go there with the Bible, there'll be people standing on the street that he told me, and they tear out pages. They got a Bible going around, so here's your page, and they love that page. And then once they learn enough about that page, they'll mix and trade pages.
Amen.
We got the whole thing. And we don't even read it. We don't appreciate it. Here's old Paul. He's got a chance to teach at the school. You know what? That's probably objective. You can't do that. He said, well, I am. Oh, but I'll also say you can't do that down here. We worship Diana. That's not legal. I guarantee you all that stuff is going on. But he said, if God says I can, I'm going to keep right on teaching right here in the school of Tyrannus. That's what he did. I'll tell you what, y'all. If God says you can do something, you can do it. My Bible still says I can do all things. Yeah, but what about the laws of the land? God's laws supersede man's laws.
Amen.
Now, he didn't tell us to go around breaking law on purpose. But when the Word of God's in play, that's right there what we got to go by. Hey, when Daniel, when they said, you can't pray no more, he fell out in the wind and said, oh, my Father. They said, I can't pray, but I'm on bended knee, amen. They come arrest him, throw him in the lion's den. said, I'll teach him. That's the end of Daniel. Wash our hands of him, is what they said. And got down there, seen them lions, and said, boy, that looks like a good place to sleep. Fluffed him up a lion's mane, slept like a sort of perfect sleeper right then and there that night. I'm telling you what, when he got up the next morning, stretched out, and one was crying, hey, Daniel, are you alive? He said, well, oh, King, live forever. I've never had such a night. We have a Bible down here. We got to preach the devil's crown. It's about right, ready to get right. I'll tell you what, y'all, if God says you can, you can go to wives then and come out unscathed. He'll take care of you. There's the school of Tyrannus. Fourthly, I've got 5 points, but I'm just going to get through four real quick after four. We want to see the special miracles at Ephesus. Verse number 10. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwell in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. Paul didn't do the miracles. God did the miracles through Paul. A lot of preachers nowadays won't tell you that. They want you to think it was them again. Send me your money. Don't send it to God. And so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs. Now I did a little study on this handkerchiefs. It's almost the very same word as what our Lord would have had a napkin over his face. Remember when he got up out of the grave, they found the grave clothes laying there and the napkin folded. You know that Jewish custom? If someone folds the napkin and leaves it there, that means I enjoyed my stay. I'll be back. Glory to God. What a statement it is right there. Well, now here it's almost the very same thing. I mean, Lazarus had a napkin over his face. Had taken the napkin. They took a handkerchief. A napkin, something that you would wipe the perspiration, something that would cover your face, not the body, the face. They would take this handkerchief or aprons and the diseases, they would take it to Paul so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons and the diseases departed from them and the evil spirits went out of them. What? I mean, Paul must have had great power. Paul didn't do that. Well, they touched his body. Listen, if this touched me, and I didn't do a thing for time. He didn't shout. Did you see that? He didn't shout. In fact, he kind of almost moved his knee away. He said, get that old sweaty thing off me. I didn't do a thing for him. Yeah, but I bet if it had been Paul, it would have been, no. You see, it's when it comes to that person, they express faith. They couldn't get there. They express faith, not in Paul, but in the one Paul's preaching about. In Jesus Christ. It's faith in Jesus Christ, y'all. You can't have faith in a man, confidence in a man, and get a blessing from it. It's only in Jesus. You'll cut on your TV and say, well, I want to send you one of my prayer handkerchiefs. If you'll send me $200, it's got a special embroidery here, and I'll put a tear on here for you. Yeah, right. And you think, no, and God's going to really bless you. God's going to really bless you. Your business is going to grow. I'm promising 250% increase on what you sent into me. Let me tell you something. I was studying this out. Preachers of long, long ago. You know what they preached? They preached heaven sweet. Heaven. Looking for Jesus to come. Heaven, heaven. I can remember the preacher preaching heaven. You better get ready. Jesus is coming. Better get ready. We're going to. Nowadays. You know what we preach? Prosperity on earth. Amen. Send me money and you'll get a 250% increase while you're here on earth. You know what? My Bible says, set your affections on things above.
Amen.
Them old time preachers had power because their affections were on things above. That's why they preached about heaven. That's why they preached about Jesus. That's why they preached about things above. And now all we want to do is name it and claim it. You know I'm telling it right. And I know on the internet this ain't going to be popular, but it's the word of God truth. Amen. It's the word of God truth. Well, I'll stop right there. You stay with me tonight. Boy, we can really get into something deep here in a minute. Amen. Father, we thank you tonight for the study of the word of God. We thank you, Father, for this fine man named Paul. We thank you for saving him. We thank you for the events that Dr. Luke has recorded in Paul's lives here in the book of Acts. Now, but Lord, I want to thank you tonight that it wasn't Paul that did anything. It was you that was doing it through him. And God, you do things through us. I realize we'll never be Apostle Paul. We'll never even be a speck of dust on his shoe lace. But Lord, we know good and well, Father, that you're able to do all things. And we thank you, Lord, that when we see
that he preached at the school. Lord, there's hope that we can testify at the school. When we see that what God was doing in his life, when there was much criticism and much opposition, he didn't rise up and shake his fist at them and get ready to pop them in the nose. I mean, Lord, how much God could we have on us if we read them cussing fire? That's not right. Lord, I pray, God, you touch us as a people. Keep us, Lord, from being so carnal, wanting all these worldly things and worldly blessings. Help us to gain that which is spiritual, Lord. Lord, we ask these favors. Pray you bless those that are sick and afflicted again. Touch the church. Help us to grow, Father, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 You're at liberty to go. Thank you for coming tonight.